You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to A Banquet. Tonight's film, from first-time feature director Ruth Paxton and first-time feature writer Justin Bull, A Banquet is a new art house-ish style look at generational trauma. Our main character, Betsy, and her mother, Holly, start off our story as her daughter witnesses a terrible tragedy in the family home. But tonight for dinner, I won't be seated alone at this banquet. I am joined by Luane.
Everybody in this movie needs to seek therapy right fucking now.
Tessa.
Would someone please pass the gravy?
And Jordan.
No fucking way. I'm not touching that.
Oh, come on. So good.
Fine. Whatever. Here, take it.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, to get the story going, you know, this is a very, you know, I said art house in the intro is tracking shots. A house that's too pretty to live in, probably. We get a story of something terrible that happens within the family, which sparks a premise that I haven't quite seen before, which is the oldest of two daughters stops eating. And all traces of things being connected to that disappear as well. So mom is a little upset. The sister doesn't know what to think. Grandma's going to come by and check on everybody. And we're going to take a 90-minute tour through not only the trauma that we're seeing happen, but also that we're going to be told about. Let me tell you a story real quick style in some exposition dumps through the story. So what did y'all think about our happy little family?
Gee, it's so glad that someone that suffers from body dysmorphia or in dysphoria fucking saw this movie. Oh, gee. Okay, I will freely admit this movie could be triggering to some people, especially transgender individuals such as myself who do suffer from body dysphoria. This movie kind of front loaded it, which I respect.
Question mark?
I can get all this out of the way. But that's really also the only thing I can quite remember, because this movie's kind of fucking boring, if I'm being completely honest. I like the cinematography.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, no, it's lovely. And yes, they totally doubt that they could afford that house on a monthly basis. I'm going to be honest. I don't remember too much about this movie. All I remember is like, okay, she snorts some powder because she's tricked into thinking, hey, cocaine, I'm cool kid, okay.
I'm at a party. Let's party.
Yeah, and then suddenly, oh, I'm a god.
Well, she's a herald for a god, but
who among us hasn't done a line of coke and thought we were god? I mean, come on.
Again, you're taking me back to film school with that. I mean.
Actually, I've never. Anyways, doesn't matter. The family, I feel like they're trying to do something kind of like Raw, Swallow. If you like Saint Maud, you know, the Babadook, stuff like that. Very supposed to be like heady, contemporary, intense, psychological, esoteric horror. You know, that's what I was signing up for and was hoping for. And the question is, did we get it?
I will say before you jump in, Luane, something that I'll put in here that we haven't talked about yet is something that's popular in films today. It's not necessarily a genre, but it's not enough of a spoiler that I won't mention it. But this is a film, like we mentioned the Babadook. We could talk about The Wind, Horse Girl, Saint Maud as well, is a movie where what the hitch of the story is when we get there in Act 2 is it's a is it or isn't it between the supernatural and mental illness. The only reason I think that this is a risky coin flip in the storytelling world is that one way it's like, oh, wow, they thought they were crazy, but no, there's ghost. And the other way is, oh, my God, we watched all this horrible stuff. They were terribly ill. So I think it really has to be threaded well. I think Horse Girl being a more personal story to the writers of that one, it made me feel a little less uneasy, but This one, I never really got the effectiveness, you know, like Jordan said, they jump up at the front with the eating disorder and stuff like that. But I think a lot of else what's going on is we have a girl that goes to a party, does some drugs, sees the red moon, and I may be, you know, the herald of something from another dimension or from another world or from another time. But what did you think about the either or?
I mean, the teeter tottering, like that's the thing that keeps you watching, yeah, is you want to see the payoff. So, I mean, that's what keeps you on the hook. But yeah.
Yeah, but that also means there's a 50-50 chance you're essentially watching the equivalent of an exorcism and you know there's no actual devil. And that's one of the elements of that I had probably the biggest problem with, because I spent a lot of this movie like, okay, look, I get that maybe there's this element there. Then there's an information drop about the mother later, and I'm like, okay, well now I see why you're not doing what a rational parent should probably do in this situation. And then to make things even better, Grandma brings up yokai, and I'm like, okay, stop. What are you doing, movie? Like, you can't just throw that in there.
I will say, it's effective as a horror film in a couple ways because of two nicely done, essentially, jump scares. Like, at the beginning, when you see what the family trauma is, I so wasn't expecting that. And the other, much later on, involves what I can say is some impressive practical makeup effects.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like some really good body horror stuff, which is very rare these days. So kudos, movie.
Yeah, I just hated the just kidding part of that though.
Gotcha.
All that stuff about the mom, like where it's just a big exposition dump, that's a problem because it tells me she's not that compelling a character if I just gotta learn all this right off the bat instead of just, you know, gradually learning about it. It's
that, and also I really like Lindsay Duncan. Like I said, she was in The Leftovers. I thought she was great in season 3. But what killed me about her character is that, you know, there's more than one red moon in this story, and there's also more than one story about something that's happened in the past from Grandma. One of them is about Grandma because it's about what happened to the mother. But then the other one is an anecdote that, you know, she kind of picks at the daughter, you know, because early in the film, Grandma's not having none of this nonsense. Why are you eating? But then later in the film, she kind of removes herself from the plot by doing the exact same thing she did earlier in life with her daughter. So I thought that was kind of a waste, because if not, why did we have her in the film?
I thought this film did some interesting things as far as like symbolism goes. Pomegranates, you know, they had the bunch of like half-eaten pomegranates laying around, you know, because that's what Persephone ate when she went into the underworld and she was trapped there by Hades. Yeah, they had some good, they had some interesting like symbolism going on. And then also like eating disorder is basically an analogy for, you know, her faith or for grief. Is kind of a combination of like faith and grief, and it reminded me, was it like Twin Peaks, the garmonbosia, the creamed corn, which basically meant like death and suffering. So I mean, there was some interesting like deeper stuff in this if you really wanted to like dig for it, which I do like breaking things and overanalyzing the shit out of things. So there was some good things there.
I do enjoy that, but again, I don't remember too much about these characters, and that's a big problem. I only mainly remember the mom because there's that, again, that big exposition dump about her character, which I'm like, that's a major problem if all you can tell me about this character is in this one scene that you're just explicitly saying it instead of like, you know, letting the camera do its work or the actress. So completely wasted. I do like the imagery, as Tessa did bring up. I did have to remind myself about the pomegranate, because I was like, what is going on with this? Then I looked it up. I just got bored. Like, I was glad this movie was only 90 or so minutes, because if it had gone on any longer, I probably would have disliked it a bit more. But at the length it is, and with how it goes, I'm just like, it's all right. I mean,
Was that a final thought?
Kind of.
No, maybe.
One thing I think Jordan's insightful to highlight here is there's not a lot of really strong broad strokes in here. The story's neat, you know, it looks great. There's possibilities and stuff like that. But the daughters, I thought both, especially the younger one, were great. The boyfriend of the older daughter, I thought were great. I thought grandma was cool too, but there's no plot for them. It's almost watching the mom suffer a lot of time, which maybe was the point of the story. I really wish we would have got more out of it. I could have liked the end of the movie a lot more if we could have connected, like Jordan said, to the characters more than we did. Why don't we go ahead and get into final thoughts? You want to go first, Elaine?
There's no shortage of movies in which we as the audience are supposed to question the reliability of the characters. Like, is there really a supernatural element, or is someone hallucinating or suffering a psychotic break, or potentially even doing something intentionally fraudulent? Usually there's some hints one way or the other, and I'm not going to lie. The ambiguous endings for movies sometimes feel like a cheat to me, but I get why it happens. But for some reason, this movie was the proverbial straw for me. Until the world of your movie shows me something unambiguously supernatural, I'm going to assume it operates more or less by our rules. This movie looks good. It sounds good. There are some horror elements that are genuinely gross and scary, and the performance of the four women in the family are great to watch. I want to see what the director Ruth Paxton does next. But I just spent most of this movie mad, because all I see is a family that really seriously needs therapy, and the ending doesn't make that situation better, particularly after a bit of information regarding that character's own history. The score for A Banquet, for me, is 30 out of 50 scenes that remind you that religious ecstasy is indistinguishable from mental illness.
Hear, 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 hear. How about you, Tessa?
Yeah, this film is basically just about control, grief, and like your direction in life via a story of quote-unquote supernatural eating disorder. I mean, there is like this sort of aspect of wanting to control what goes into your body while also being out of control about what's happening to it. Some interesting sort of duality going on there. There are some things to really relate to in this, depending on your background. I actually, in middle school, I was very thin and actually got accused of having an eating disorder when I didn't have one, which was really weird. I got teased for being too thin, which is kind of strange. It's normally the opposite, but I had like some sort of weird inverse thing happening where I was too thin and my friends were like, oh no, she eats a lot. Like when she comes over, she'll eat.
Thanks, guys.
All the pizzas, like, thanks, thanks. Anyways, I still understand the aspect of just wanting to control what's happening. And so basically this girl just has to pick what to do after high school and go to college. And so this could be supernatural. It could be psychological. And she just chooses to do this because it's something she can control. And going to college is scary and different. So I feel like they were trying to tap into an interesting sort of metaphor, but it was a hard line to toe and kind of dangerous given what they were trying to compare. Again, it was gorgeous. Some good performances. It kind of lagged. There were some red herrings, but they kind of had to because the whole thing was to keep you on the hook till the end. I'm going to give this 6.5 out of 10 uneaten pomegranates.
How about you, Jordan?
I'm kind of in the same camp as Tessa. I'm still kind of thin myself. What's happened is that I've gone from being a toothpick to being a slightly thicker toothpick like you find in a club sandwich.
I get you.
What I discovered was like, oh, my metabolism just works so fast. Or it used to. Thanks, hormones. And sobriety.
Thanks, COVID, right? That too.
But I wanted to really like this. For a lot of reasons Tessa did bring up, like, I really do see the metaphor of you know, wanting to be in control of how, you know, be it you're eating, because, you know, you got a big life ahead of you after high school. And usually I can dig this sort of story, but I was just... About a few days after watching this, I really couldn't remember too much about it. It just felt dull in a lot of places. And yeah, the movie looked great. Great symbolism and imagery. Again, great jump scares. Like, I can't deny that. It fulfilled that aspect of being a horror movie very well. Still having trouble remembering too much about this movie or how it ended. The performances were just too bland, and I personally don't think any of the characters were that compelling to really think about. That said, I'll give it 5 out of 10 buffet plates. Because honestly, I'd much rather be at a buffet than a banquet. At least I can get like a good helping of everything at a buffet.
I think it was an interesting premise. I thought the set design was cool. I thought the music was cool and creepy. CJ Mira's first feature film score as well. Jordan, she just mentioned the word metaphor, and I wish we had got more of that. If we were going to go with this glossy, more let the camera linger than, you know, push the literal piece of the plot along. It reminds me of films also like, hey, you know, the comparative thing's not cool nowadays, but Midsommar and It Comes at Night both start, like this one does, with just radical family trauma. And I feel like it's just becoming how you start a movie. You know, it's a good way to set a tone. They do that with the little kid, no spoiler, in Pet Sematary. But that story warrants, I think, because of how emotionally it gets. I don't think you just get to start with horrible parent trauma and then be like, does she want to go to college? You know, because it's all there. So I wish we had got more of the melancholia, her staring off, looking for the comet to come destroy Earth, or hearing angels in a room when no one else can hear them. I wish we had done some more of stuff like that than what to me kind of feels like they wanted to play both sides a little too safe. So I don't think we got a lot of cool stuff. But I'm going to go 5 out of 10 pains in the back of my neck. Oof. Because that was a really good piece. If you're going to watch this movie, it's worth it for that, which we somehow managed to get through this whole review without spoiling. So that'll be there for you in the video watch.
The fact that, they just jump into the family trauma, they don't really give us any sort of backstory on what Betsy was like before. Like, we don't know how that trauma changed her. So I think that really takes away from us kind of being invested.
No, but it does remind me of Thanksgiving.